I have to tell you guys, your chair is somewhat disadvantaged by the fact that I was in another part of Ways and Means when you heard this budget, so you might have to hear some things. Oh, you were too? Okay.
No, it's true. You were not here.
That's right. So you might have to hear some things that you've already gone over, but forgive me for that. Anyway, Sheila, would you set our charge for today and let me know the direction which we're going? I appreciate it.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. The bill in front of you today is Senate Bill 5586. As you'll note, it's a blank bill. However, we don't intend, or at least my understanding is that the intention today is not to amend the bill and pass it out, but rather to have a work session to cover some of the issues on the Senate proposed budget for the State Commission on Children and Families. You should all have received a memo yesterday afternoon from me dated May 24th, and that covered the major budget issues. It also had some discussion on performance measures and then two proposed budget notes for the agency. And so my understanding of the charge today is to discuss both the recommended changes, the performance measures, and then the budget notes. And I believe that the agency is prepared to come forward and talk about that.
Okay. Ms. Lansing, and your entourage, some of you want to come with us.
Madam Chair, actually, while they're coming forward, I would note that in my memo, in my haste, there is a typo in the second paragraph. It references House Bill 2039, which would transfer the Juvenile Crime Prevention Program to the Commission, and actually that's House Bill 3029.
3029, okay.
And I apologize for that mistake.
So everybody please note that 3029. Maybe a little dyslexia.
Yeah. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Mickey Lansing. I'm the director of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. Madam Chair and members of the committee, what we would like to do, if that's okay with you today, and I want to say up front, just bear with me, but I want to sort of lay the groundwork as we talk about what the impact would be for a $7.5 million reduction, as well as a $2 million reduction in juvenile crime prevention funds, and then what our performances are, and where our performance measures are, and where we're going with those. First of all, I want to talk about our recommendations for the $7.5 million reduction in the commission budget. One of the things that the commission does whenever we make a decision is that we are very inclusive in our decision-making process. We are the local people. They are us. So whenever there is a decision to be made about the direction we need to go, we bring everybody together. We have had a budget task force that has been chaired by State Commissioner John Yunker, and we met to look at what would we want to do, or what did we have to do in a $7.5 million reduction. We have two small local commissions representative, two medium, two large, and then we were represented by CASA, Healthy Start, and Relief Nurseries. After a very challenging session, the budget task force came to the decision that their recommendation, if they had to do it for a $7.5 million reduction, would be that we would take the entire reduction out of Healthy Start. The reasons for that were that the rest of the system just could not stand any further reductions because of what had been done over the last 3 years between 01 and 05. The system would no longer be viable if further reductions were to be made. The other issue is that Healthy Start is more than 50% of our general fund budget. And we believe that if, in fact, we are more efficient, maybe did some things differently, we could stand some reduction. However, we thought that the most that we could do in terms of taking a reduction would be to take it entirely out of Healthy Start. I think that Sheila is passing out to you at the moment the history of Healthy Start in terms of where we started. This is important as you look at this particular program and the direction that we would need to go. Statute originally required that the Healthy Start program was universal, had universal access to parenting information screening, and provided long-term support to first birth families with newborn children needing additional assistance based on the results of a standardized screening and assessment process. Healthy Start's main goal and benchmark is to reduce the incidence of child abuse and neglect among families having their first child. Another, though, peripheral goal is that Healthy Start also contributes to other early childhood benchmarks, including increasing school readiness and improving health outcomes for children and their families. As you look at Healthy Start in recent years, in 2001 was when the Oregon Children's Plan passed. And I'm just going to highlight some of these things. You can read those. We had 19 programs operating in two-thirds of Oregon counties. Statewide rollout of Healthy Start was to be done by July of 2003. And House Bill 3659, and this is a key issue, focused on voluntary services requiring changes in Healthy Start's screening methodologies. Prior to 2001, Healthy Start was able to do what we call birth certificate screens. We also did screens in the hospital by nurses where then people would come, Healthy Start people would come and offer services to those families that went through that initial screening process. We were no longer able to do that. In 2002, additional programs started to operate throughout the state. Programs that remained were funded to serve 60% of first births in their counties. We made sure that we were moving to full implementation of the Oregon Children's Plan. HIPAA legislation took effect, further impacting screening issues. By 2003, we had 34 active Healthy Start programs. At the same time, in April of 2003, the State Commission had to lay off 33% of their staff. Half of the Healthy Start staff was part of that 33%. Funding increased to 65%, then it decreased to 50% of first births in July of 2003. And at the same time, we had organized a quality assurance committee to ensure that we had quality and consistency recommended by Healthy Families America so that we could start the credentialing process to ensure that Healthy Start was an evidence-based program and system of services. So, at the beginning of 2004, the credentialing process began. And this has caused, I must say, a lot of angst among folks out in the field because at the same time they had reductions, they were also asked to go through this process. But you also asked us to ensure that this particular program got the best results. And the only way to really ensure that that occurred was to make sure it was evidence-based. In 2004, we had programs in all 36 counties. Funding was reduced to 47% of first births. We had a new director, Healthy Start coordinator, a new fiscal manager. We, though, also, the state and local policy and procedure manuals were written and implemented for all programs, and for the first time, the State Commission on Children and Families, Healthy Start in particular, had a memorandum of agreement with the Office of Family Health in Portland. For the first time, we really had some in-depth conversation and dialogue around who does what. What does Healthy Start do? What does Babies First do? What does Cocoon do? And since then, we've moved that conversation to Head Start, Early Head Start, Early Intervention, etc. Where are we now in 2005? The Healthy Families America credentialing continues with site self-assessments written by each local program, and having been delivered to the state office actually last month in April of 2005. So those lengthy, time-consuming self-site assessments have been delivered to us. That is now done. So I must say to you, the bulk of the work locally has been completed in that particular way. We have started a new collaboration with the Department of Human Services. Ramona Foley and myself sat down, talked about how could we more closely align Healthy Start services with the population that DHS serves. We have done that, and actually, Senator Bates, I even have a flip chart that we may show you shortly. At least it will help know the direction in which we're heading. I need to say to you, we're not there yet, but we are doing work, and we're going to continue that work, and we're going to make some progress. We also are collaborating with relief nurseries in a way in which we have not done before, trying to find those ways that we integrate the work of both Healthy Start and Relief Nursery. So we have joint trainings. We cross-train people working each of those programs, ensuring where there are relief nurseries that Healthy Start is able to refer the highest-risk children to those relief nurseries, and also looking at starting two new relief nurseries, at least the House has within their budget, in Linn County and Jackson County, which is, again, relief nurseries are an integral part of that early childhood system. So, despite all the issues we've had in the last 4 years, despite the fact that we've had reduced funding, changing in personnel, done all of this credentialing process in order to get to the point of being credentialed, Healthy Start has still realized positive results as it relates to the child abuse and neglect rate. And high-risk families are being served. However, we do believe that we can become more targeted in that particular area. So are there any questions about this particular piece? You also, I think, had handed to you, who are the Healthy Start intensive home visiting families? This gives you some sense of the issues of the families that we are serving through Healthy Start.
I think that we are pretty much abreast in terms of the program and what it does. And what we were trying to do is, I did not know at the time when I asked Sugar to do this that all these people had heard this budget until today. So as you saw Mr. Binney come over and tell me that we've heard this, Madam Chair. So if you just tell us what the impact of the 7.5 would do, I think that would be, what's the committee's pleasure? Anything other?
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm the better looking half.
Okay.
And I'm the smart one, so go ahead.
Yeah. The Mickey has made this very articulate testimony before. We've discussed various levels of budget reductions in the joint committee when it was a joint committee. And having read the LFO recommendation, I must say that Sheila has done her usual excellent, great job on the narrative. However, the way what I'm noticing is there's must be a couple of numerical errors in here, because at least to my lights, this doesn't add up to what was discussed in the committee. So maybe if I could recommend we adjourn until tomorrow and discuss this among ourselves. I don't want to take any more of Director Lansing's valuable time or any of the audience's valuable time.
Yeah, and I would second that. I'd like to have a little more detail to concerning relief nurseries and a better idea of what the $1 million cut to juvenile crime prevention means and what the 7.5 Healthy Start cut means. I wouldn't mind hearing a bit of that, maybe even tomorrow, but I think we need to have some conversations first.
Yeah, let's get another chart, because I don't think we're here tomorrow.
Or the next day.
Let me just apprise the audience of what's taking place here. The House has a version of how much, which is consistent with the governor's budget. The Senate has a budget that cuts 7.5, and you know this more than I know, I bet, already. 7.5 out of Healthy Start. Well, Mickey's selection of 7.5 coming out of the budget, the largest budget that you guys have is the health start piece, and $2 million out of the juvenile crime prevention piece. What the committee is saying back here sounds like I, as the chair, have a political problem. And the political problem is that they don't want to cut. Is that what I'm hearing? So I have a political problem in that they're saying it doesn't make sense to keep the audience here to further hear what is going on when it's a legislative problem that we need to talk about. So that's why they were saying, we don't think we need to keep all these people here, these very fine people who've come from across the state here, because it's a political problem. And the political problem will take place among those of us in the legislative process. Is that what I'm hearing, committee?
Well, Madam Chair, I'm not so sure it's a political problem. I just think Sheila must have made some addition errors here. So, well, that's why I say I can't see through the gray on the apple right now.
Madam Chair. It may be.
And the problem is getting bigger by the minute.
Yeah, the mathematical problem may be both in the budget and elsewhere. The numbers aren't quite right. People have come from around the state, and I understand that, and I appreciate their interest, but I think we pretty well know what these things mean. We've been through this budget a lot. This is a policy decision, and one we have to discuss at length before we make any final decisions or make any recommendations to a budget. I saw this for the first time last night. I assumed that Sheila had made some terrible errors in math, and I had a chance to get back to her yet about it. Sheila, it's not a shot at you. It's just that, you know, we need to talk.
It's blame staff whenever you get to a difficult position. I mean, that's how you do it.
Lori, where are you? Senator Anderson, Morris Anderson, I'm sorry.
Being the first time on a budget committee, and we've had great testimony, but I can't read through the gray either, and I would just like to discuss this at another time.
You know, while they're conferring, I do notice that we have some expert witnesses in the audience. One is right over here wearing a very lovely white blouse and a very attractive young lady in a tie-dye looking affair. And there's a handsome young man in the back in a blue t-shirt. Would you guys like to come forward and testify on any of these issues? I'm just saying, if it was left up to the wisdom of children, we would solve this right now.
Let me ask the committee another question. Do you find that you would like, you know, Michael has done a good job of working on performance measures, and he's been here on two different occasions and never had a chance to present it.
Well, Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Michael Kurtz. I'm a Policy and Program Services Supervisor for the Oregon Commission on Children and Families, and we have covered, to a certain extent, the key performance measures. There has been some changes done to the key performance measures. I'm more than happy if Sheila would like to cover those changes to answer any questions about those changes, but we don't have to go back over it if people are comfortable with the key performance measures.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. I would like to get that off the docket at least so we have agreement. I did have one question about one of the performance measures.
Okay.
I mean, I actually read this stuff last night. It was hard to believe, but
okay.
It does happen.
Do you have your wish? We know where you are, Benny.
We've done a great job of keeping Michael off the docket for 3 weeks of public testimony now.
Okay,
yeah,
this committee has made me make a decision. Is there somebody that have come from across the state, and I'm taking a chair's prerogative at this point, is there someone that has come from across the state that has a burning statement you'd like to make to this committee before you go home today? Okay. Nobody wants to say anything. I just want to make sure we're fair about this. So, Sheila, it appears to me that what the committee would like to do is to go back, have conversations about the numerical value that we do not see in terms of the shaded gray area with this budget. And with that in mind, unless there's something burning that you need to tell us, Ms. Baker.
Well, Senator Bates did have a question on performance measures.
I have a minor question on performance measures, but it'll only take a moment. But I think what you're moving towards is fine. Madam Chair, Michael, performance measure that's not numbered in my sheet, but it's 42300-1. I assume that's your numbering system. I have a draft printed across my performance measures here. This is the incidence rate of child maltreatment is lower for children aged 0 to 2 years participating in Healthy Start than for non-served families in the same counties. Are you familiar with that performance measure?
Yes, Senator, I am.
Two things about it. One, your target is 12 in 1,000, and I would suggest that our target be zero, number one. We want to have a situation where our target is optimum zero. We never probably get there. Understand that.
Right, I understand that, Senator. The comparison baseline data for setting that target was looking at what the rate of maltreatment for children aged 0 to 2 in the general population was, and that was 20 per 1,000, and that's where the baseline was set.
I understand, but my goal would still be zero.
Yes.
The second thing was, you're comparing it to, it says non-served families, and I would assume that that defines every other family in the community.
That is correct.
And what makes that a very difficult decision to look at is you're looking at another group of people who might be at higher or lower risk than the people you're treating. I don't know what the other non-served families look like. If you think about this for a moment, okay? I mean, if you're comparing yourself to the general population, and since you're picking out people at some risk, then if you're moving below that, you should be doing well, okay? On the other hand, if there are concerns about the fact or the possibility that some of the homeless high-risk families are not being served because they choose not to be served, then you're not comparing appropriately either. I mean, you can go either way on this by the phrase non-served family. This is a key way of deciding or determining if Healthy Starts having some ability to cut down child abuse.
Correct, Senator. I'm going to let Beth Green from MPC Research answer part of this question.
Chairperson Carter, Senator Bates, I'm the evaluation director for the Healthy Start evaluation. I just want to respond to that. First by saying that you are correct that we do not know with certainty the risk characteristics of the unserved population. What we do know is that the Healthy Start population does represent a significantly higher risk population than the general population by virtue of data that we collect on those families. There may be a percentage of the families who are unserved who are high risk that we're unable to reach. But if you add into that group the not high risk families, the middle class, upper income families, taken as a whole, we're fairly certain that the unserved population actually represents a lower risk population. So therefore, if Healthy Starts reducing the rate of child abuse below the rate in the general unserved population, that's a considerable feat because you're doing that within the context of an already high risk group. Does that make sense?
I understand that.
But you're absolutely right that we don't have data on the, because we don't serve those families.
But
so
let me ask you another question in relationship to that.
Yes.
Dr. Bates hypothesizes that, my understanding, is that because you don't, it's a volunteer program, and because you basically don't have the upper end, the middle end, and even some of those on the lower end,
right.
How do you come to your conclusion in this manner without having that data?
The conclusion of the reduction of
yes.
child abuse?
Right.
That's because we actually look at, we work in partnership with DHS Child Welfare at all of the child abuse records, and we match families who have received Healthy Start versus those who have not, because we have that information. So you do
get the gamut
yes.
of the information.
Yes.
It's just that the program itself is a voluntary program, and you use that information in totality or in
that's
tandem with the other information that you get.
That's correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair, yes, thank you. I mean, the problem is the thing you need to do, you can't do. Let's have a control group.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. That's the way we run all these types of studies.
That's
to
right.
see if something's effective. You can't have a control group, and I would kill you if you did.
As a researcher, I'd love to, yeah, believe me.
You can't do it. So I'm not sure this gets to where you want to get mm-hmm. to, but we'll leave it where it is. I'm just putting those caveats in there. I have some concerns. The other thing that concerned me is that we've seen some figures indicating that potentially child abuse as a general population continues to go up, even though the Healthy Start program seems to be holding steady or actually lowering child abuse. And those disconnects, those figures are very concerning to me, that we're not measuring the right thing or not getting to the right families or not getting the right families the right way. we will have that continuing conversation in 2 years. And I mean, we'll start to see what we have in the next 2 years. I know you're going to work with DHS, and that might get you to where we really need to get to, is why are our general rates of, apparently our general rates of child abuse going up, not a lot, but a little bit, while the people you're touching seem to be level or even maybe going down. Mm-hmm. We have a disconnect in our society, and you know, you guys are challenged to work with that population, and I appreciate that. But that was the key performance measure for me, and I'm looking at that last night for about half an hour thinking, are we really measuring what we need to measure? How do we know it's really working? And I wanted to have that discussion today. Thank you.
Good.
Madam Chair.
Senator
Meisner. I have been disappointed from the very beginning that the Senate and House have separate budget committees. We wouldn't be in this predicament coming and having a meeting with you if we had kept our joint Ways and Means Committee together. And hopefully those of you out there realize that the reason we can't continue on is because we have two budgets that are very different regarding the Office of Children and or the Children's and Family Commission. Commission on Children and Families budget is very different from the House and the Senate. So how we resolve this is, especially when there are members of this committee that don't feel quite as strongly that the budget should pass out yet because we haven't worked together, but it shows a little bit of chaos at this point in time, and I truly wish that the Ways and Means Budget Committee had stayed together, and therefore we wouldn't have, to me, sort of a waste of time of people coming here to have a discussion when we can't really do anything at this point.
Senator Dr.
I'm going to challenge this a little tiny bit. Okay. I agree that the disruption of the Ways and Means process separating has been a disaster and will continue to be, but I take a little bit of pride in the Senate can look at a budget and say, you know, at this level, we're not completely comfortable. We're going to pull it back and look at it a little bit more.
That's what
we are thoughtful. We're careful. We're not going to rush out there and just, you know, march as soldiers off a cliff. We're going to stop and think about this and say, this is really what we want to do. And I commend the chair for her leadership today in telling you that. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think what you see, yes, you do see divided House, but I quite frankly applaud you guys for saying this is not an acceptable budget, so we want you, Madam Chair, to go back and think about it with your leadership team. And I think that you can leave here this day feeling proud of your Oregon Senate that nothing is considered so lofty here, so private here, that they don't want you to know what's going on, and that is that my members find this budget unacceptable, and so now I got to go back to the drawing board. And so I'm a good soldier. I understand how to count and what is going on here. So we appreciate your patience, but I want to tell you it is in your best interest that this committee has said stop. That's what it has said, stop. And so that means I got a little more work to do. So thank you, all of you, very sincerely for coming here today. And I'll go back to the drawing board and start all over again, see what we can come out with. And what they have just said, $7.5 million for a Healthy Start is not acceptable, and $2 million for juvenile prevention is not acceptable. I know I take orders well.
Chair Carter, could I just do one thing? Marsha, will you show? I just have to do this for Senator Bates.
Oh, that's right. My apologies.
Senator Bates, I want you to know that we gathered together with DHS and we talked about TANF families. And this is just a very elementary diagram. But working with TANF families, having a screen, they may screen in, they may screen out, which then they could go to a basic service that could be funded by other funds than the commission has. Then they would be assessed. If they screen in, then we'd look at something maybe called Parent Track, where we could give them options, I think very clear options of being able to join the Healthy Start program. As they got into intensive services, we would go to first births, we'd get to Healthy Start. Their services, subsequent births, could maybe take advantage of an array of services, including relief nurseries, family support connections, which they're now calling community safety net, mental health and public health, other particular issues. But this is where we have started in terms of our work with the Department of Human Services. And they have been great partners in moving in this particular direction.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Day.